Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Today we're going to be looking at the second to last chapter in the book of Genesis, chapter 49. And as we read through this chapter, you could see Jacob and his sons. There are three things that I'm going to point out this morning. And like I said, there are several things that I could point out. But I'm going to point out three things this morning, and I hope that they can be applied to us spiritually. The first thing that I want us to see is I want us to see Jacob gives his blessings. Jacob gives his blessings. I do find it interesting that he starts off as much as he can with their points of strength. He points out their strengths. He talks about Reuben being this and that, and he points out this person and that person. And I want you to know that he points out the strengths. And I'm so glad that the God that I serve notices and points out our strengths. He wants what is best for us. I want you to know that. With this beginning, he starts with encouragement. He wants what's best for us, God does. And when there's something good to be found, I want you to know, friend, he will take notice. I'm reminded that he took notice of the churches in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. If you go and read the churches of Revelation, you'll find out with the church of Ephesus, it talks about how many good things that they did. Even the church of Thyatira had some good things about them. And then, of course, God always ends up hitting them between the eyes at the end. Jacob does about the same thing here. Points out their strengths, and I want you to know that God notices our strengths, but I want you to also see that Jacob points out their failures. My friend, God says in Numbers 32:23, be sure. Be sure. Be certain. Your sin will find you out. God doesn't forget. We sometimes do. We may forget what we have done. Maybe we have done so much that we forget because of all that we have done bad. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you that God Almighty hasn't forgotten. Just like Jacob mentions their good, he ends up talking about their bad. I mean, poor Reuben. The oldest, the one that should have gotten the blessing, the one that should have gotten the majority of the inheritance. I mean, Jacob starts off beautifully. Reuben's probably sitting there with his chest puffed out a little bit and looking at his other 11 brother and thinking, this is getting good. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might. That's right, Dad. The beginning of my strength. Okay. The excellency of dignity. Oh boy, I can't wait to hear this blessing. The excellency of power. Oh wow, I'm going to get it all. Unstable as water, thou shalt excel. Huh? You're a failure. You had every opportunity to be what you should be, and you blew it. Now he kind of wishes that he could just take a couple steps back amongst the 11 brethren. This is his dad's dying statements. Starts off good, but evidently Reuben never got the picture. Reuben, you went into one of my concubines and you slept with her. You never one time came to me about that and apologized. You never one time came to me and took care of that matter. You never one time got it right with me or God. I haven't forgotten. That was years ago, Reuben. Maybe 20 or so. I haven't forgotten. Neither has God Almighty. You're unstable as water. You'll never excel. And Reuben, the whole tribe, does not. He points out failures like Levi and Simeon. Whew, I don't even see any good things he says about them. I mean, they went off and they did their own thing and they were wicked and they were vile and they took vengeance into their own hands and they never got it right. And Jacob never forgot. But oh, how interesting Judah's story is. Not one rebuke. What? I mean, you think about it. The one that deserves the most rebuke in our eyes. The one that deserves the most ridicule. The one that deserves probably a laundry list of rebuke from Jacob gets zero rebuke. And it's Judah. This man Judah, the man that caused evil to befall on Joseph, the man that committed adultery and was not blameless, the one that probably caused his father the most heartache because of his leading the other brethren astray, gets no rebuke. Why? Because Judah had repented of his sins. I told you God doesn't forget. You say, well, did God forget Judah? God doesn't forget. But when Judah came to God and repented of his sins, there was nothing to forget because it was all going to be under the blood. Therefore, there was nothing to remember. That's true for you and me too. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone. I mean, you could be the most deserving sinner that deserves hell's fire. And God will forgive you and consider you blameless and give you an eternity with Him and all the riches that belong to it. I'm telling you what, man, Judah, the one that deserved it all. Reuben wasn't the leader. Reuben wanted to do something, but Judah was the leader. All the brethren followed Judah. Judah said, hey, let's kill Joseph. Reuben's like, no, let's not kill him. Let's put him in a pit. Reuben leaves. Judah says, all right, let's get some money out of this. And so Judah ends up talking to the other brothers to sell him into slavery. And then, I mean, Judah's life is a mess, and we've talked about Judah in the past, but something changed in Judah's heart. Something happened in Judah's heart. Judah repented of his sins. Judah asked for forgiveness to God, evidently, and evidently he took care of it with Jacob too. Because he could have easily said, Judah, the one that caused me to lose 17 years with my precious son, or 20 years with my precious son Joseph, the one that took the coat of many collars that I gave in love and ripped it up and killed one of my calves or sheep and dipped it in blood and made, Judah, you're going to have a lot of things good for you, but man, can you believe you did that to me? Not a single word of rebuke. Man, that's the kind of God we serve. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, I'm going to heaven, I'm saved, it's all under the blood. My fellowship is what's dependent upon my right living now. Not my relationship. I was saved and I have Christ as my Savior. I will always go to heaven and my sins will always be under the blood. However, my fellowship with God while we're walking on this earth and what I get to hear Him say when I stand before Him for the very first time, it's either going to be enter in or well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't believe every believer will hear well done, thou good and faithful servant. Only those that have been well good and faithful will hear well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to know that that could be you and me. We could hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And my fellowship with Christ is important here on this earth. And He can guide me and lead me and direct me. If there's unconfessed sin, however, He doesn't forget. But when we confess it, it's as if it had never happened. Therefore, He cannot bring it up or hold it over your head or rebuke you anymore. He throws it, and the Bible says He throws it in the depths of the deepest part of the sea. He removes it as far as the east is from the west, never to touch it again. And that's only if you and I go to Him and confess our sins. Now, like I said before, you're sitting there thinking, I don't know what all I need to confess. I can't remember. But I tell you what, if you go to God with a pure heart and say, dear God, here I am. I'm 50 years old. I've lived my life for 30 years for myself. There's no way in the world I could remember everything on my own. But dear God, if you'll bring it to my memory, if you'll bring it to my heart, I will get it right. I will get it right. And then he'll say, you remember that time? Dear God, you're right. I was wrong. Forgive me. Oh, I feel so much better. Oh, wait, I ain't done now. You remember that time? And just like an onion layer just keeps peeling it off. Hey, if you're serious with God, he's serious with you, and he'll see to it that you have an opportunity to confess it if you're seeking confession. Friend, I want you to know that when I came across that, I was reading all these brothers, and I was sitting there thinking, man, Judah's going to get it, and he didn't get nothing. As a matter of fact, he got so much praise. He says, Judah, you're strong. You're a lion's whelp, man. I mean, how would you be? I mean, think about it. There was a lion. There was a donkey. There was a wolf. There was a serpent. There was a deer. I mean, Jacob describes his sons in so many different ways. I mean, out of the five there, I want to be a lion. I don't want to be no snake in the grass. I don't mean no donkey. Dumb, hard-working, but dumb animal. A deer, flighty. A wolf, cunning. Benjamin's the wolf. It's interesting how he even gets to tell Judah, you're like a lion's whelp. And I want you to know something, Judah. Not only am I going to tell you what I'm going to give you, I'm going to tell you who's going to come from your loins. From you, O Judah, you lion's whelp, is going to come the lion of the tribe of Judah, and that's Jesus Christ. You talk about total forgiveness. You and I can walk out of here as clean as the day is. We can walk out of here as clean as Jesus Christ. If you want to. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, he points out their strengths, he points out their future, and then he gives them a prophetic blessing. Jacob was able to tell these boys what their great, 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 great times 400 grandchildren were going to inherit. And he pegged it exactly. You're going to inherit land by the water. You're going to have harbors. And you're going to inherit mountainous. You're going to be like a donkey. You're going to have sure-footedness. And you're going to be like the lion. You're going to be a lion's whelp. The king's coming from you. And you're going to be like a wolf. You're going to be cunning and sharp. And here's where you're going to be. 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 And I'm telling you what, he pegged it. And it doesn't. None of these boys got to live there. None of them. Not a one of them got to see it again. But 400 years later, when God delivers them out of the Egyptian bondage, and Moses comes on scene, and then they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Hey, when they inherit the land, it's exactly how Jacob described it. Why was Jacob able to peg this? Why was Jacob exactly able to get this right? Because God was leading him. We have a prophetic word too. The Bible, and my friend, the Bible tells us in Peter that this word is a more sure word. It's remarkable how God has given us His Word and how the Bible has been fulfilled time after time. You missed Sunday school class if you weren't able to be here in my adult Sunday school class. I mean, I gave, I don't know how many Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament. I mean, I gave a laundry list of them. I mean, one after the other. I'm talking about the birth of Christ, to the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, how they were going to sell Him, how they were going to use His garments. And I mean, Old Testament prophecy fulfilled. And this word is remarkable. It will never lie to you. Every time it says something that's going to happen, it has happened. It's interesting to me that the devil knows the Bible. The devil knows what the Bible says. I'm sure the devil's read the Bible. He probably hasn't memorized after 6,000 years of trying to figure things out. And it's remarkable to me that God even tells us in His Word what's going to happen. The devil could read it. And if the devil had any sense about himself, he'd say, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. But he can't help it. He's so evil. He's going to get himself an Antichrist. He's going to try to destroy. He, in his own demented way, he still thinks he's going to win. There ain't no way. He's not going to win. The devil knows what the Bible says, and he's going to participate, willfully or unwillfully. He's participating in what the Bible predicts. He can't help himself. He's pure evil. He is God. He has been to our tomorrows. He knows what lies ahead. If you've been going through a storm or a trial, God has been there already. He knows where your ship will land. We may not. He does. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. And if we stay humble and seek His will, He will guide us and direct us to make sure we land exactly where He wants us to be. Yet, sometimes, He uses the pits and the prisons like He did for Joseph to get us into the palace. Sometimes, the problems of our own making. Joseph's problems were not of his own making. But sometimes we are in the pit in the prison because of our own making. I was coming home yesterday, and I was driving down the road. No, it wasn't yesterday, it was Friday. I was driving down the road, and I was thinking about some things. I was thinking about this song that we were going to sing in a choir, and I was thinking of a couple other problems that were going on. And for some reason, the children of Israel came to my mind. And I started thinking, the children of Israel, because of their unbelief and disobedience, had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of their own making. And then I thought it a little bit, then I said, as I was driving down the road, I said, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Who was leading them? Even though they were in the wilderness for 40 years of their own making, God led them the entire way. He never left them. So you might be in a wilderness right now because of your own making. I want you to know that if you'll surrender and humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, He will lift you up. Now, it took them 40 years longer to get into the promised land than it should have. That was because of their own making. But He never left them. He never forsook them. And it may have taken a little longer, but I'm telling you right now, when God puts you in the pits and the prisons of your life, it's to make sure that He puts you in the palace that He has chosen for you. There's a place that He wants you to be in. For Joseph, it was literally a palace. For you, it may not literally be a palace, but it'll be a palace in the eyes of God because it's exactly where He wants you to abide, and it's where He wants you to be. You can trust Him. He will guide you to the place He has given you already. Unfortunately, with rebellious, it makes us take longer to get where He wants us to be. So don't be rebellious. Trust Him like Joseph did. He'll not leave you. All things work together for good to them that love God. God wants good things for you. If you love Him, you'll get it. Why? Because it's His perfect will. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His will. He wants good for you if you love Him. Why? Because it's His perfect will to give it to you. The pit didn't seem like perfect will. And it didn't seem good. Neither did the prison. But after what, 10, 5, whatever years he spent in Potiphar's house and he spent in prison, he's probably laying one night in that soft Egyptian cotton bed, looking up, and he says, you know what? The pit in the prison was worth this. It's always worth it. May not be pleasant for the time, but it's always worth it. Number two, I want you to see that Jacob guides them. We're almost done, believe it or not. Jacob guides them. He tells them, he says, carry me out of Egypt. Bury me in Canaan. Carry me out of Egypt. Bury me in Canaan. He didn't want to be buried in Egypt. He wanted to be buried in Canaan. Why? Because that's where the loved ones were, and that's where Christ would one day come, and will one day come again. I mean, he wanted to be there. He wanted to have the front row seat. Point number three, I told you, wouldn't take long. I want you to see, finally, that Jacob goes to meet his God. Two thoughts come to my mind about this. Number one, everyone dies. Number two, a testimony is always left. Everyone dies, even Jacob, the great patriarch. God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob died, and he knew that he was going to be buried with his grandpa and grandma. He's going to be buried with his mom and dad. He was going to be buried with Leah. He knew that he was going to be buried there. And although that his physical burying there wasn't going to really do anything for his body, he knew that it was kind of like he knew that he was going to go have a family reunion. And I want you to know that if you die, you're either going to have a glad reunion or you're going to end up having a sad reality. Hey, listen, if I die today, God forbid, I don't want to die today, but if I die today, I want you to know that it will be a glad reunion for me. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fringe benefits. My dad's there. My boys are there. Family members that are there that I may not have known are there. I may be missing some that I thought were there and are not. It will be a glad reunion. Every time in Scripture when Jesus raised someone from the dead, the first thing he always did, he's always gave them back to their family. Read it. Every time Jesus raised somebody from the dead, he gave them back to the family every time. There's a glad reunion when I die. How about you? Will it be a glad reunion for you? Or will it be a sad reality? You know, I get news flashes or stuff back, especially 5-10 years ago. I'd get things, some celebrity would die, and I'd call Dad. I said, did you hear that so-and-so died? My dad responded, and you've heard me say this, but my dad responded the same way every time. Hey, Dad, did you know so-and-so died? Did you know so-and-so died? Did you know so-and-so died? My dad said, Nathan, everybody dies. I said, I know that, but did you know? Because that's sad, but everybody dies. And that's the reality of it. You know, you're a one-for-one chance of not getting out of here alive. So that means you're a one-for-one chance for dying. You say, what about the rapture? You're going to be separated from this world to his. That's death. In the purest sense of the form. And I'd much rather go in the rapture. I'd like it all to take place at one time. You know? But I'm telling you right now, if you're saved, you're forever living. But if you're lost, there's a sad reality. You will die. But the truth of the matter is, you will not will die. You're already dead. You're just walking and breathing. Just like you will for all eternity, but in a very much horrible place. Much more horrible place than this. Earth's not that bad. As you know, if you're saved, this is as close to hell as you'll ever get. And if you're lost, this is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. The reality is, if you're lost and do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, friend, you have a sad reality. Everyone dies, but I also want you to finally see that there's a testimony left. Jacob's testimony is now left. He has been written about for all generations to know. We know him best as Jacob, but we know his children best as the children of Israel. Jacob had an up and down life, but at the end, he did it right. His testimony preceded him. What will your testimony be? Last week, the Lord allowed me to help with four families as their loved ones passed on. And I usually say this, I think I said it at every funeral, and I say it pretty much at every funeral. I learned a long time ago in my ministry that I cannot preach a person's funeral. I can only conduct one. The way a person lives their life preaches their funeral. I can't make up things that didn't happen, and I cannot realize things that have happened. Jacob's testimony. Jacob preached his own funeral. His testimony preceded him. He's been written about for this generation and the next generation to read about Jacob. All his ups and downs, but finally he got it right when he got right with God. What is your testimony? If you were to leave this world, what would your testimony be? If I had to conduct your funeral, what would you have preached? I want you to know God can and help you regain your testimony if you've lost it. And He can help you keep a godly one if you still will follow His will. My conclusion is this: aren't you glad God forgives and forgets? Like Judah. I'm glad that God forgives and forgets. So if you're here today and you're bound by sin, He forgives and forgets. Maybe you're hurting. He's been to your tomorrows. Let Him be the balm of Gilead to your soul. Maybe your testimony isn't what it once was and you want to get it right. Do it today. But most importantly, maybe you're lost. And if you were to die today, you'd be in a place called hell. That would be the sad reality, that there's hope. Jesus can and will save you and give you a glad reunion one day. Won't you trust Him to be your Savior?
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook. Facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.